hoping that it would be more of a Cthulhu-style monster and not just a man in scuba gear. Ladies and gentlemen, it's...
Yeah, well, you don't.
It's Thursday, live from the Thursday, here on the Thursday. It's a new generation. My name is Shannon Young. This is After Dark. With me tonight, of course, we have Jesse Kimball.
Yeah, that's that guy I am.
And we have Lindsay Wolfgang.
Hi.
We're renting Shelby Kimball.
That's not a Cthulhu.
We have Tanner Calvert at home.
Yeah, that's not my name.
And Double H. Wait, what's your name?
I didn't get a good one. I'm not doing anything now. I was going to do the Chopped
hold,
Cats.
Hold
chopped
on. Cats hold on. Bit, I got it. But... hold on. Let me try this again. We have Tanner Calvert at home.
That's not my name.
And Hunter, you are the worst person I've ever met.
Yeah, that's better. I got off easy compared to the rest of you.
Tanner, what's your name tonight?
Turk Ferguson.
It's Bird Jorgensen.
Oh, Scott Jorgensen.
I love it.
I'm actually going to murder you.
It's After Dark.
I couldn't decide, by the way, when you hit me with that, I couldn't decide with going with the actual Homer quote or just doing the Lenny. Hey, what's going on?
Also, I need to name a character in some video game Bird Jorgensen. Because
I mean, it's going to be your name here in a minute.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dummy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, it's going to be mine.
I got some. I got some news today. I can't say on the air, but I'll say off the air that it will have no consequences for anyone except for me, but will also only be an interest to Hunter. So, potentially Tanner.
Well, that's intriguing.
Anyway, Hunter, before we get started on this this anniversary episode of After Dark, it's been a week since we did one. Could you please read off the names in that legendary bird chat?
I'm going to do all of them but one because I want to hear you say the other one, and you know exactly which one it is.
I think I do.
So, well, if you look at the list, you'll know which one I skipped. Ace of Gray is currently Hummus Steve, which I just love. My name just changed from Mission Commander Test Tube to Bird Jorgensen. Bob's name is Meowing Ass Locusts. Jesse's name is Internal Camaraderie. Kaz's name is still Anal Railgun, which I don't love, but I get it. I remember the story.
He gets it too.
Shannon's name might be the most offensive of all, and that's Local Trump.
I am the Local Trump.
Stephen Bright's has not changed because I think we keep avoiding it because we all like it too much. It's DoorDash Boss Fights.
That's Jesse. Jesse is a DoorDash Boss Fight, from what I understand.
Tanner is Play-Doh Muscles.
That's me. That's from when Kaz made the mistake of saying that I look like I gotten a little doughy. And I didn't have the sparkle muscles anymore. So then I proceeded to make Kaz miserable about that for the entire show.
Yes.
And then for one extra joke last night when we got on Diablo.
Kyrgyz's name is Little Pineapple Fence, which is I don't think I explained that one.
Yeah.
So I don't remember if I sent you guys the picture. Someone said that they had gone to a pizza place that was some shit I saw on Tumblr. They had gone to a pizza place that sold like pizza by the slice, and their dad had ordered a pineapple pizza, or like a Hawaiian pizza, but he wanted the pineapple on the side so that he could like put it on the bits himself. And they took a picture of what they gave them. It was a slice of pizza, but the pineapples were just like lined down the side. So it's just a little pineapple. Or no, I think Sarah was the one who goes, "It's just a little pineapple fence." And I went, "Well,
it's keeping,
hang on.
It's keeping the flavor inside the slice."
Right. It's going to
so
keep
it doesn't
the same
escape.
Place.
Yeah.
Now, Shannon, don't forget, I skipped one.
Well, then Cody Sandusky,
you know what it is.
Is the appropriately named Daniel Titties.
I also knew I couldn't get through that without breaking, so...
Cody, how do you feel about the name Daniel Titties?
How do you like us now?
Oh, my God.
Every time we do that, I feel like Bart with that little button, like, "Home, Dad, I'll never get tired of this." And they're just hitting buttons there. We got an interesting top five for you tonight. Not necessarily entertaining, but interesting, and that is it's BYOT, it's Biot, bring your own top. So each of us just Biot.
Biot 5.
Biot. What's the great white the great white hype quote where they're like, he says Biot? Biot? Motherfucker, it's Biot. Where the fuck you from? Anywho. Anywho,
street cred. Refry some.
I got it.
Some beans.
Let's fry that shit up right the first time. Motherfucker of the week, before we get to the top five, which again is a beat, bring your own Daniel titties to the show tonight. The motherfucker this week, Jesse, it's Kevin McCarthy. It's Kevin McCarthy for daring to censure Adam Schiff, for bringing an investigation against Donald Trump and the Russia collusion, of which he will say a million times there is no Russia collusion, but then you look at how many people got arrested, how many people got convicted, witch hunt, I doubt. But they decided that since they're in control of the House now, they're going to go ahead and censure Adam Schiff as retaliation for daring to bring any kind of investigation against their Lord and Savior, Donald Trump, the orange god. And it passed. It's not necessarily active yet, from what I understand, but it did pass that part. Down party lines, all Democrats voted no. I think 6 Republicans voted present, and then the rest voted to censure Adam Schiff. And it's ridiculous. It is a travesty of political justice. This is what happens now. We are weaponizing the House and the Senate against our enemies. To be fair, it's just on the Republican side, but you could probably make the argument that Democrats are kind of shitty too. But in this particular case, what a joke. And my favorite part about it is, I don't know if you saw this, Lauren Boebert tried to sneak in an impeachment of Biden, which didn't succeed. But the funny part about it, Jesse, did you read about this, Jesse?
I know what you're talking about.
I'm actually not sure about the Lauren Boebert stuff. Go ahead.
Well, Hunter, Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene met.
Yeah, she pissed off Large Marge.
She did.
She did piss off Large Marge. I heard about that.
Marjorie Taylor Greene called her a little bitch to her face
on the House floor.
Yeah. Called her a little bitch. And then after the fact,
I literally stood there 2 weeks ago.
and no one called right you now. A little bitch. So,
no, not to my face.
My favorite thing is, like, when they left the chambers and they asked first Marjorie Taylor Greene, did you call her a little bitch? Marjorie Taylor Greene said, I won't confirm or deny it, and kind of giggled and ran off to torture children, I assume. And then they asked Lauren Boebert the same question. She's like, I'm not in middle school, and just kind of left it at that. Marjorie Taylor Greene then did an interview with a newspaper explaining why she called her a little bitch. So she did call her a little bitch to her face. And why did she do it? Because she said that Lauren Boebert stole her idea, stole her impeachment proceedings, and used it first, and called her a little bitch for that. Like, it's funny and sad.
I'm going to get the wrong phrase here because I can't remember the word that she used. But the second time when she agreed to do the interview and they asked her after she lied and said, no, I didn't say that. The second time before she confirmed it, she said, not only is that true, it's like impeccable reporting or something on their part to say that.
She also said that Lauren Boebert, she's like, she has been a little bitch to me the entire time. Like, good Lord.
Oh, somebody trash didn't, going to trash.
Somebody didn't drink enough wine this morning. Shelby, I can't help but notice you're drinking wine in a can. That's very,
Well, I wonder,
interesting.
Does Marge have a sign that says I'm promiscuous and my house is dirty that she hangs in her kitchen?
I like her sign.
I'm not really drinking wine, but
I like her sign that says, hey, barkeep, I want to die tonight.
That's my favorite.
Well, you've said that about every sign so far. So, today marked the release of Final Fantasy 16, a game.
Hang on. I also got a motherfucker of the week.
Oh, okay.
I can't believe that we're not going to mention Stockton Rush. Stockton Rush, the guy who created the fucking submersible that absolutely exploded like 3 days ago and killed all those people. Imploded. Sorry, I'm being corrected. It was imploded. That is correct. We had a live on the spot correction.
Oh, no?
We had a meeting.
Oh yeah, they found the pieces of the ship.
Gotcha. Where Tanner had made a joke about it. All right. So in full disclosure.
Whoa. I read a joke.
Okay. Tanner read a joke about it. And,
okay.
And we didn't laugh. And then I went on a rant about how, like, I get it. I get the idea that and by the way, we agreed
real
not
quick
to talk
I know
about
I know
it.
Where this is going. This is the only reason I am talking about it. I'm not even gonna make a joke about it, but he is a piece of shit.
He is. No, 100%. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think he absolutely earns motherfucker of the week.
I agree. Like,
yeah, I think so too.
He totally fits that list.
He got four people killed because he's a cheap motherfucker.
And himself.
Yes.
And himself. Yeah, and himself. Yes.
That's a good place to go with it right there. So,
yep. And that's all I, that was my intention, was to get all that out there.
And you're 100% right. I couldn't agree with you more on that. Like, oh man. Yeah. That whole thing
Yep.
I didn't know his name though.
Do you know those Logitech controllers are currently on sale?
Dude,
at a very conspicuous time.
I have that Logitech controller. I have that exact same controller. I didn't know it was also
Kotaku
used
reported
to control, mm-hmm.
Well, not anymore.
Not anymore. I don't think Logitech's controller blew them up, but you never. I mean, they may have been using that that seldom break system, you know.
Seldom break,
and then it did. I also want to mention real quick. This isn't a motherfucker of the week, but since we're talking about ridiculous things and rich people that do ridiculous things, did you see that Mark Zuckerberg is apparently going to fight Elon Musk in a cage?
Yes. Yes. Send me the location or something like that.
Yeah, so you've got fucking Elon Musk and Zuckerberg online, like, puffing up at each other and
look.
What?
I'm here for it because a lot of things can go wrong in a boxing ring.
Yes, especially if it's in a cage. Put it in a cage, yes. Especially.
Yes.
Elon Musk doesn't look like he's ever fucking lifted.
I'll settle for a broken leg. Like, nobody has to die. I'll settle for an injury.
Give us $1 million, baby.
My money's on Zuck, for the record.
Well, he's an alien. How could he lose?
He ain't got much personality, but he at least looks like he's in shape. Elon Musk looks like Kaz accused me of being.
Yeah, but okay.
He's
but
a robot.
But then he's going to be the guy who beat up an autistic guy. Like, that's not
fuck.
That's not great. Elon Musk said it. He's the one who's like, I'm the first person with autism to host SNL or whatever it was, and they were like, no,
that's,
you're not.
That's exactly what he said. And my better joke was
Dan Aykroyd was.
When Kate McKinnon, when Anya Taylor-Joy was on there, and notice I got it right for once, Anya Taylor-Joy was on there, and Kate McKinnon said, I had this weird dream where Elon Musk hosted and my mom was there. No, all that actually happened. And Kate McKinnon's response of, what? Why? That was baffling. Not to turn this into an SNL discussion, but, like, you know, they obviously bring people on that aren't necessarily normal hosts, and, you know, they'll try to bring people on who are culturally relevant. Kim Kardashian hosted. I mean, there's a whole list of people that have done that. But at least Kim Kardashian is an entertainer. Elon Musk, that was just baffling.
I'll even settle for athletes because, again, there's entertainment factors there. And so we have a lot of it. Charles Barkley is one of my all-time favorite
hosts.
He's
one of the best.
He's hilarious. Best. Yeah. He had that episode where there was this, like, sketch after sketch after sketch that was classic.
That he's terrible in, but so, that's what makes it good.
That's what's funny about it is that he's not really a good comedic actor, but he's up for anything they give him to do.
And then you compare that to Elon Musk. His episode was bad. I mean, there was probably
cringy.
There was like two skits from that I enjoyed. The Chad skit where he's in space. That was relatively funny because Elon Musk is just playing himself and he's not the joke.
Right.
And then I took some sick pleasure from the Wario skit just because it was Nintendo and everything except Elon Musk and Grimes was funny.
Grimes, who has since left him for a woman, by the way.
Good. It's
that was a long time ago, man. He hates her now.
I'll say that's Robin Hood Men in Tights. It's a good change. It's a good change. See, Shelby.
No longer Latrine.
Shelby, her name is Latrine, but she changed it because it used to be Shithouse.
It's a good change. Good
change. It's a good change. So Lindsay was having trouble thinking of a topic. You know, we're going to try to make tonight's episode a little shorter, not just because we want to go play Diablo, but at the request of Aaron Powell. So we're going to try to do less tonight. So Aaron, if you're listening.
Oh my God, he's going to love that.
That's for you. Lindsay was having trouble coming up with a top five, so I just said bring your own top five, but she liked it, so we're doing it. Tonight is the – or today was the release of Final Fantasy 16, the next in the mainline series. I said I wasn't going to pick it up, but it is my top five tonight. It's going to be the best Final Fantasy games. But I will say this. We were at Best Buy. I was picking up something I had ordered, and they had one copy of 15 left on PS5. I almost picked it up because I'm like, look, we know I'm going to buy this eventually anyway. I'm not good at not doing things that I say I'm not going to do. But I use restraint, not because I didn't want to play it, but because I don't want to replace Diablo right now. Diablo is my focus. So I passed on Final Fantasy 16. I do hope to play it one day, even though it isn't Final Fantasy in most ways. But whatever. It still looks good. Anyway, tonight, top five. Bring your own top five. Let's real quick, let's find out what everyone's top five is. And then we'll go from there. Jesse, what is your top five for tonight?
My top five is going to be an extremely controversial topic here.
Good.
It's going to be the top five Doritos flavors.
Love it.
So this was something like Shannon was talking about, like his dumbass topic. And I was like, I'll make you feel better. I'll do something fucking stupid like Doritos flavors. And then I was like, nah, fuck it. I'll do Doritos flavors. That sounds fun.
I don't like that there's more than two. No, we don't have time. We don't have time.
Not yet.
Oh, God.
Tonight's highly controversial topic.
I feel like Mac. I'm totally calm, and like 20 minutes from now, I'm going to be going, I will put my thumb through your eye, you little bitch.
Oddly enough, that's what Marjorie Taylor Greene said to Lauren Boebert.
Well, that was it's impeccable reporting of you to say that.
On the House floor. Shelby, what is your top five?
My top five is things that I really enjoy seeing in animated, digital, or cartoon media that I don't like in real life.
Okay.
What the hell was that? In the background I heard, get the fuck off of me!
Randy's playing the game.
Okay.
What to say? What kind of game is that?
It's a role playing game.
I like
game.
The implication that it's not a video game. Well, what role are they playing? Shannon, the fuck?
Yeah, exactly. Fucking victim. With a scream like, it. Don't fucking. Tanner, what's your top five?
Doing top five historical periods and places I'd like to visit.
That's a smart one. Hunter, what about you?
I'm doing the summer vacation report that you do when you come back in August. Mine is going to be top five places you should visit in Washington, D.C.
Top five Iggies that you've done.
That's right. I did the Iggy.
He did the Iggy. Again, my top five in honor of Final Fantasy 16 coming out. I should have done favorite Final Fantasy characters instead of games. That might be more interesting. I'll do both. And then, Lindsay, what's your top five?
My top five are my top five favorite arenas from the Tales of the Hunger Games series on YouTube.
Okay. Well,
All right. Jenny, you should do, when you do the game, just pick a character from that game.
Yeah, I could do that. I could do that. All right. Let's start with Jesse Kimball. Jesse, tell me about the five best flavors of Doritos.
We're doing these one at a time still, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
so that way you can build up your anger as the rounds progress with Jesse's Dorito choices.
I really should have nailed this desk down because I'm going to try to flip it at some point. I'm going to forget, and I'm going to try to throw it.
At some point, I will forget, and I will try to flip the table. so, yeah, this is absolutely in order to flavor number five, starting off. It's actually a relatively new flavor, the Flamas. This is actually their Flamas flavor now. This is their Takis
it's
flavor.
Not even real.
It's the chili lime flavor.
That sounds like a medieval
A little bit.
The Flamas.
But yeah, so this is their Takis flavor. It's the chili lime. You had them. The chili lime flavor Doritos.
I've had Takis.
I like Takis a lot. Like I like the flavor of Takis a lot. But I don't like the rolled chip very much.
The Takis popcorn.
The Takis popcorn is pretty incredible. And yeah, these Takis Doritos are awesome because you have the Doritos chip with the Takis seasoning, and I really, really enjoy that.
All right.
So that's flavor number five.
All right. Flavor number five. There you go. Shelby, retort.
Sloths. They're disgusting. They are hideous, and I hate them. And then in any cartoon, I see them, and I'm like, oh, look at those cute bastards. It makes me want to go see them in real life, and then I see them in real life. Oh, my God, I fucking hate you. Get away from me.
Which is, I always think is weird because she loves, like, you know, like, ugly things. Like, she finds adorable, like, hairless cats and most kinds of bats.
Hairless cats,
but a sloth just doesn't do it for you.
Sloth doesn't do it for her.
They are disgusting. They eat their own shit.
But then you're watching Zootopia, and that one's at the DMV, and you're like, this little guy.
Yeah.
I vibe with this guy.
This is my dude. Like, I'm hanging out with him after work because, like, we're about to go get food and, like, hang out and watch this new movie that came out. Like, yeah.
He has to clock out, like, half an hour early, though, because it takes him a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, to get there.
Yeah.
He needs someone to, like, steer this
moment. Not that, though, Shelby.
That's Shelby was lost. She's watching the cartoon, and she goes, yeah, yeah. And they show a real one, and she goes, not that.
Not that.
I hate all of that.
Hey,
I gotta say,
hate,
I disagree.
Hate,
sloths are adorable.
Hey, it's not your list.
I know.
Unless there's a historical...
Reason will prevail.
If there's a historical sloth, Tanner, in a time period, go ahead. Tanner, top five time periods you want to see sloths in.
Time period. Now, I have to say that most of these, the reason I'm picking them is because there's things that happened at that point in time that I want to see if it actually happened the way they say, blah, blah, blah. So, like, going back to the time of Christ isn't on there because there's actual evidence that a man named Yeshua existed in that time period and was as popular as they say. So I don't need that proven. That said, my first one I'm going with the mid to late 40 BC era of Egypt, Alexandria, also kind of Rome too. I like to visit that time period of Julius Caesar and Cleopatra and see exactly step by step how things played out and what actually happened to Cleopatra.
I'll tell you what happened to Cleopatra. They made a Netflix documentary on her and the internet went crazy.
Like, yeah, most things.
I guess they think since she was Egyptian, or she was queen of Egypt, that she should have been Egyptian, but she was not. So Netflix didn't do their research real well.
Well, I mean, they made her black in the Netflix documentary, and
I said what I meant.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Cleopatra was Greek. She was Macedonian.
Cleopatra was white, just like Jesus, and just like Wayne Brady.
It was Mooney!
Which, funny enough, Hunter, did you see the Ghostbuster Angel news dust thing today?
Yes! Yeah, so cool. Have you ever seen that show before?
I have not. Mm-mm.
So the gist of it is, I hate to break us down quick sidebar. Universal Studios, the theme park in Florida, back in the day when they first opened, had a Ghostbusters like stage show. That didn't last terribly long, as I recall. They had like a whole indoor theater thing. They basically recreated the final fight from the first movie. Over time, since they weren't making more Ghostbusters movies, they moved more stuff into there, and they had a Beetlejuice like outdoor review. Like Beetlejuice would show up, and he did these songs and stuff. And then, because both of those things were kind of waning, they made the one Beetlejuice movie, they weren't making any more, the cartoon was kind of waning. Before either of those things left the park, they combined them. So it was called Beetlejuice... dead on stage or something like that. Cause it was, instead of live on location, it was like dead on location or something. And he would come out and just like, you know, he had this like little stage area. He would riff with the audience and he'd do like a couple of little songs. And then you would hear like the Ghostbuster siren. He'd be like, gotta go. He would take off. The full on Ecto-1 would come up. They'd play the song. The guys would get out. They were just like replicas of the main four. Wayne Brady played Winston Zeddemore in that for a long time. And so they would come out, they would talk about how they were going to bust Beetlejuice and this was going to like be a big get for them. Beetlejuice was like, not if I turn you into my backup dancers first. And then that was the bit. They would play like songs and he would charm them the way that he does like all the folks at the dinner in the movie and have them dance to like MC Hammer and CNC Music Factory and stuff. And he would just like regularly like, tap one and they would do this and they would do that. It was in the end they would bust him, but he would like ride off on the top of their car while they were leaving. It was very cool. But yeah, Wayne Brady was the original, I think it was the original Winston Zeddemore in that. And the video exists on YouTube. You've ever watched Wayne Brady do Whose Line Is It Anyway? It's that. I mean, it's literally no question that it's him.
You know, what's funny
the
about
way that,
that
he sings and stuff
is Ernie Hudson actually auditioned for that role and didn't get it.
Couldn't get it. Couldn't Arsenio get it. Hall.
Arsenio Hall got it first. And then Buster Douglas.
And then he gave it to Wayne Brady.
It's one of my favorite Ghostbusters stories is that Ernie Hudson auditioned for the role of Winston Zeddemore on the cartoon and didn't get it.
And couldn't get it. I mean,
not all actors can be voice actors.
That's true. I was going to say, to be fair, voice acting is a very different thing, but it is a funny anecdote that, like, he couldn't play the role that he originated. Yeah.
Right. Oh, and then fuck Bill Murray. All right. So, Hunter, top five.
So no secret here that we spent a couple weeks ago, we spent a week in DC, and I've talked about it a little bit, but just like, if you decide to go, some very cool things that we saw that I think you should want to see. I'm going to try to go chronologically because that'll make it easier for me to remember. So the first night we were there, we went down to the Tidal Basin, which is like the main area where all the memorials are. That's your Washington Monument, your Lincoln Memorial. But one that I feel like had Sarah not directed me to, a lot of people don't see maybe, is the FDR Memorial. Is very cool. So where the others are, you know, the Lincoln Memorial is in the big building and it's got the statue. It's iconic, but you've seen it a million times. Where the Washington Monument is kind of like the arch to me. Like, I mean, it's impressive, but it's literally just a big structure. The FDR Memorial is almost a walkthrough museum of his life in statues. And it goes through chronologically in the order of things that he did as president. It talks about the New Deal and how he put relief, you know, the Social Security programs, put relief back into the country of people who were ailing and what he did later in his life. He talks about his wife. The final statue is of him in the wheelchair. And he's got his dog beside him, a big bronze statue of him and his dog. But if you're walking through it, like, you get to experience all that in real time. It's outdoors. If it's nice outside, like it was when we went, it's beautiful. And he's just a guy who doesn't get enough credit, I think, for being a very influential president. Because you go there and you think, yes, Washington, Lincoln, you know, Jefferson's got a memorial on the other side of it. It's nice that they did something big there for him. So that's one to see if you go.
I would like to see anything. I've never
it's very seen, nice.
I've never seen anything. Mine is my list again is far less consequential. It's just I like Final Fantasy. It's an excuse for me to talk about Final Fantasy. This is also in order. My favorite Final Fantasy games with the favorite character at Hunter's suggestion. It was a good suggestion. Number five for me is gonna be Final Fantasy 11. I know a lot of people like Final Fantasy 14. They think it's the better MMO, and it is. But Final Fantasy XI came out right at the time when the only MMOs I had played were, I think, Ultima Online, EverQuest. This was before World of Warcraft. So this was that weird period where World of Warcraft hadn't come out yet and introduced the MMO genre to literally everybody and their grandmother. So when I found out that XI was coming out with an MMO, as big of a Final Fantasy fan as I was, I was salivating at it. And it was really, really good. It's ugly as sin now if you go back and look at it. The graphics don't hold up as much as like Warcraft's does. But
fairness, Warcraft did completely retexture their game.
Well, even so, Lindsay and I were playing Classic earlier with, you know, the classic models and stuff like that. And you turn the settings up enough, I mean, it looks really nice. Final Fantasy XI never looked that good to me. It was kind of washed out. It looked good at the time, but it's just not as good today. And they've also, like you said, they've done nothing with it. It's still active though. It was a lot harder. It's one of those MMOs where you have an entire group because you can't solo anything in that game. You literally had to have a group for everything, whether it was basic mobs or dungeons or whatever. And I still remember we would get in there and you would pull one monster at a time. If you pulled more than one monster at a time, everyone ran and pissed themselves. That's how difficult that game was. And so, like, now looking back at it, it sounds incredibly boring. But at the time, sitting out there on the beach fighting one monster at a time and getting levels was awesome. I had Family Guy playing in the background because I watched a lot of Family Guy back then. And it was I would be messaging Lindsay online. We'd be chatting back and forth. It was a very good time to be alive. And my favorite character from Final Fantasy XI is my character.
Well, yeah.
It's gotta be.
I don't remember his name. I don't remember what class I was.
It had to be Lionheart, right?
No, this is like, before I. This one predates that. So, let me tell you where I got that.
Well,
name.
I mean, that came from Final Fantasy VIII, right?
Yes,
Squall,
yes.
Lionheart,
Squall, yeah. Lionheart. But I originally started with Lionheart, and a lot of my characters on Warcraft were named Lionheart. But then I played a game called, I think it was called Kingdom Under Fire, and it wasn't the first one; it was the second one on 360. And there was a character on that game named Reinhardt. And I always thought that was a really cool name. Jesse, like the dude from Overwatch. So then I combined Lionheart with Reinhardt, and I came up with Lionheart, and I've been using that ever since. So that's where I got that name from, if anybody's ever played with me and they wondered what that's from, which no one has. All right, let's go to Lindsay.
Matt Sism is really going to appreciate, by the way, real quick, that Final Fantasy XI reference, because the house that he lived in that I've told you guys about going over and hanging out with him, every time you walked in, there were at least six people playing some combination of Warcraft or Final Fantasy XI, and they were all in the same room. And you walk in and be like, "Hey guys," and they're like, mm-hmm.
"No,"
like they wouldn't even turn around.
Yeah, 11 was 11 was intense, man. I don't think there'll be another MMO like it. And you take, you know, the Final Fantasy world, and I mean, I could ride a chocobo with other people. 14 did it better, but still, all right, Lindsay.
Okay, so a little bit of context for mine. Tales of the Hunger Games is a fan project on YouTube by an individual named Christian Blanco. He basically took all the information we already know from the books and films, but then wrote out narrations for games 1 through 75, and then created the games continuing on up to games 100. And I enjoy all the stories. They're really good, well-written, and narrated through. But the first arena that I am going to pick is from the first Quarter Quell, game 25, and it is based on the Egyptian ruins. So they're basically in Egypt with the pyramids and the sphinxes, whatever. Can't speak. And their main hazards are the 10 plagues that go through Egyptian lore.
Is this part of your tabletop game that you're creating too?
No, mine. I took inspiration from part of it, but my games are still. I'm not giving anything away on my games yet. Sorry.
I gotta tell you, I was really worried that she said sphincter for a second when trying to say sphinx.
That's not what I meant to say. It came out that way, but sphinx is what I was trying to say.
I mean, to be fair, there were a lot of sphincters in Egypt. I'm sure.
There still are.
Anatomically, that's still accurate.
Yeah, they're still there.
Yeah, they're still there. You can go see them, just like, you know, the Sphinx and stuff.
All right, so Lindsay's,
well, not just like, but
Lindsay's next top five is top five sphincters you should visit when you're in Washington D.C.
In Egypt.
In Egypt. All right, let's go back to Jesse.
No.
All right. This is flavor number 4 on the list.
Oh, goddamn! I forgot he was doing that. How did I already forget he was doing that?
I know I'm not gonna start making people mad until like the top three or top two here, but
it's the top two.
Number 4 is a discontinued flavor that I really wish they would bring back. Poppin' Jalapeno. Came in the green bag, like it was a.
I think I remember that one.
Yeah, it was a jalapeno flavor, and it was incredible. It was just a really good all around flavor of Doritos. I ate a lot of those. As a kid, they've discontinued them, and they have brought it back. They brought back, like, every other goddamn flavor, but no Poppin' Jalapeno. Even in this wave of, like, bringing back all these, like, releasing all these crazy spicy flavors, no Poppin' Jalapeno.
By the way, tonight's episode is not sponsored by, but liked by Boogie2988 for Jesse's Dorito choices. The only thing that would have been better if Jesse had picked his top five Mountain Dews, but...
Which there is like 30 flavors of Mountain Dew now. I could probably do that list as well.
Well, that guy's a piece of shit. That's, you know, that's
Tanner's going to be offended if you do that first, though. That's Tanner's territory.
I'm
stepping on his toes.
I'm putting together we like to do random episodes sometime. I haven't even told Ethan about this yet. He doesn't know. But I want to do an episode with Ethan where he and I talk about, and actually Shelby, I would like you to be on this one too, where we talk about like our YouTube personalities that we liked, and then we found out they were just pieces of garbage.
God.
Yeah, I feel like you would be good on that. Boogie2988 is at the top of my list because I really loved that guy back in the day, and then you find out what a colossal piece of shit he is, and I don't mean that physically. Let's go to Shelby, by the way, number 2.
Of things better in not reality is certain foods, specifically like fried foods in cartoons or in anime, always looks so delicious. When they put like the sauce or that flavoring on top, it's kind of glistening.
Like every food from every Miyazaki movie?
Yeah. And there's never any loss of crunch, and you can tell. Like it just never penetrates. So it's always perfect. And every bit of it, if it gets ripped open, is juicy and it's perfect. And you look at the shit you get in reality and you're like, I don't actually know if that's food or a rock.
Until you bite into it, you don't know for sure. And if there's enough sauce on it, you might not realize it at first.
Yep. So I don't get it. I don't understand. Sure. Like, fried food is so much better visually represented in cartoons and drawings.
It also won't kill you there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No trans fats that's there, true. Man. You're great.
No, man.
Now, I do have to disagree with Shelby on one thing. Fried foods are generally just good. They're very tasty.
I didn't say they weren't good. I said visually they weren't appealing to me.
Jesse opened that soda and full-blown froze her camera.
How did she do that? She opened that. It wasn't me.
Oh, never mind. That's what it was. The power was too much for the camera.
She looks like she's looking over at a real piece of fried chicken right now. Like, oh. That's not delishable. All right, Tanner, number two, what do you got?
That's a rock.
I'm staying in Egypt, or North Africa, partly Egypt. Excuse me. choking on something. So, right around 12,000 years ago is when they're saying the water erosion appeared on the Sphinx, saying that it's older than what scholars say it is. But for me, at that same time period, I want to go to the area called Mauritania. If you ever get a chance, look up the Eye of Sahara. I think I've talked about it on I Want to Believe before. It looks like a giant crater, but it's just these different rings. Like it's to look at it from above, which is it's used as a site. Like it's used as a marker for people who are doing space travel. But if you go watch documentaries on it, it follows the exact measurements of Atlantis, and water would have been in this area about 12,000 years ago. And I would like to see this area at that point in time, just to see if this was Atlantis, if this just happens to be cylindrical shapes that just magically showed up in the desert or what. But like 12,000 years ago in Mauritania.
Tanner, if you could go back in time to know for sure whether or not Jesus was real, would you?
He was real.
He mentioned that in the first thing.
Okay, I meant the whole thing.
The miracles.
The
yeah.
miracles. The
Oh, okay.
The
I thought you meant the person. I was like,
no,
we know that.
No, the crucifixion.
Yeah, the person return. Existed. The crucifixion existed. Like, the questions are, yeah, coming back from the dead. And
yeah.
The miracles
yeah.
and all
the
that.
The miracles right. and all that.
Yeah.
The miracles yeah. and all that are kind of just, I don't care to know. It's not that big a deal. The biggest thing for him, for me, is the lessons that he taught. That's the important stuff. Not the miracles, not the coming back. It's the actual lessons that he taught.
I get where you're going with that, but how is that not the biggest thing? Him coming back to life?
Because the lessons he taught in life are more important.
No, because I want... That's fine.
I still
want
to know.
Yeah, it's okay. No, because I don't want to know. That's the point. Because if it's not true... No, this is a different show. Hunter, let's go to you. Stay focused. Stay on target.
I stay on target. It's ironic you mentioned that, because while it's not a big secret or anything, a big hidden thing... some people might be put off by, so there's six Smithsonian institutions in DC. The only one that requires you to schedule a visit is the Air and Space Museum. All the others are just free, walk in, no big deal. The Air and Space, by the way, does not cost. You just have to schedule a timed entry ticket. It was by far the best one that we visited. We went to three. We went there, the Natural History and American History Museums, and both of those are very cool, but they're overrun with just anybody. Because there's constantly people in there. Again, it's free. It costs nothing. You can just walk in the door when they're open. Air and Space had time entry, and so there were fewer people there. It was also just a little more overall impressive. You're going to see a lot of the same stuff at Natural History that you would see at like really good zoo exhibits in a lot of cases. American History is kind of a mishmash of different things because it's really a lot of like... Bless you.
Bless you.
They had... They had, for the record, they did have a very cool entertainment exhibit that's rotating right now. That's where I sent you guys the pictures of. They have the original R2 and 3PO from Star Wars. They had Captain America shield and stuff. That was all very cool, but that's not always there. Aaron Space, while some people might go, okay, that seems very specific, and I'm not super into those things, it is very, very powerful, I think, especially the space section, to be up close with. Not just like Neil Armstrong's suit. That was very cool. I did like that, but they have actual rovers, not just the vehicles that they rode in on the moon, but they have like Mars rovers and those sorts of things. You are not prepared for how big these things are. You can see pictures of them beside other people, but being there in person behind just a bit of glass between you and them, it's pretty intense. And they have a lot of experiences in there too, where it's like, this is what it was like for these guys. You can see the modules that they were in. Here's how much space they had to sit in. That was very interesting. So while the timed entry might put you off, I would strongly recommend Aaron Space for anybody who's going there.
I would be fascinated by that. I love shit like that.
And they do have pop culture stuff. I think the first thing I sent you guys was the picture of when you walk in immediately on the ground floor to the right is a replica of the original Enterprise from the original series. They have a full-scale X-Wing upstairs that's hanging from the roof. It's actually Poe Dameron's X-Wing that they used on screen in The Force Awakens.
A full-scale one?
It's I thought I sent you guys a picture. I'll go pull it from my Instagram. But yeah it's
wow.
It's that's hanging cool. Up above. It's on the second floor. And, I mean, when you walk up, you can't miss it. It's right there. They sell a lot of Star Wars merchandise up there, which is very funny to me. At an extreme upcharge, of course, because it's stuff that you could get literally anywhere else, too.
Yeah, but you're paying for the experience.
Right, yeah, yeah. Of being there.
Of shopping there, yeah.
I really got to take Shannon to Disney so that he can walk in the full-scale Millennium Falcon.
I need to go any fucking where. I'll be 4,900 this year.
We should all do that. 100.
Something and we like, should all do. I'm going to Florida in September. So I'm at least going somewhere to do something. But like the only other place I've ever been is
you're not going to Orlando, right? You're going to somewhere with a beach.
Yeah, going to the beach. It's near I forget what you said. Walton. Yeah, Fort what Tanner said. He was there when me, him, and her went on Microsoft Flight Simulator and flew around the area we're going to go to. It was kind of neat, actually.
I dropped in the Discord just now, first the picture with me in it, and then I actually, because Sarah took that one for me, I took one before that. It's a very funny picture of me.
So, I didn't see that at first. When I went there, the first thing that popped up was the mushroom.
You just
going,
saw the mushroom. Oh,
yeah, mushroom's going, wow. That is Poe Dameron's X-Wing from The Force Awakens that they have as a permanent exhibit there.
That's very fucking cool.
That's cool.
Less cool than that, but cool to me. Number four, my favorite Final Fantasy games of all time, Final Fantasy Tactics. This is it's an all-time classic. If Bob was listening to the show, which he never would, he would be happy about that pick because it was the first
Final Fantasy game I've ever beaten.
You've beaten? It's really good. You can help me with this. Tactics was amazing. The problem with Tactics is Bob and I discovered. Really quick, for those of you that don't know, it's very different from the other Final Fantasy games. It's a grid based battle system. It's Fire Emblem. It's Fire Emblem basically. Before I even knew what Fire Emblem was, because it came out in America first. Tactics did. What was cool about it is Bob and I discovered this little trick where, and I forget the exact names, it's either called an oracle or a mediator. If you had one of them in your party, you could basically talk down to an enemy to the point that they literally turned into a chicken and they couldn't fight back. So what I did was I would surround...
Just D&D bards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, except this one.
This is mockery.
This one came with a consequence, though, and that I did not realize. The reason I've never finished Tactics is because I would surround. I spent hours doing this. Surrounded one enemy, and I would just keep turning him into a chicken and beating on him with my other characters, and he was surrounded, so he couldn't even move. But then I would have a healer heal him. So the healer was constantly getting experience from healing him while everybody else was getting experience from beating the shit out of him. I leveled up to an ungodly overpowered level, right? Here's the problem with that. The game scales with you. So
there's no point in grinding tactics.
Nope.
I made that same mistake.
And the worst part about it was now the enemies were like level 40, 50 or whatever, and I was still using level 1 or 2 gear. I could not advance the story because I could not hurt the enemies enough.
I failed by my own hubris. On the PS4.
Petard.
So I got it on PSP.
The War of the Lions version.
The Lions version. The
good version, yeah.
Yeah, because I had been told that, like, yeah, Final Fantasy released a game that's very, very, plays very, very similarly to Fire Emblem. Huge Fire Emblem fan. I started playing, like, every game that I could that had that tactics play style, including, like, the Jeanne d'Arc on PSP.
That was a good one, too.
That was a really good game. What was the other one that had, like, the little, like, penguin demons in it?
Disgaea.
Disgaea, yeah. Yeah. I got
Prinnies.
It.
Prinnies.
Prinnies. Well, yeah. I liked this guy quite a bit. Like, I don't think I ever beat one, but it was fun to play.
No, because those games were fucking endless.
So when I saw that there was ways to, like, grind stuff up, like, yeah, like, you could, especially, like, healers. Because healers in Fire Emblem are so hard to level up. And when I saw that I could do stuff, like, yeah, you turn the guy into a chicken and just, like, keep, like, healing stuff and, like, get XP. And I was like, oh, this is cool. And then, yeah, everything started scaling. I ended up just having to restart the game because everything was so much better than me.
Yep, and I got to a point. It was a... So, the point, and I have to mention this before some nerd goes, but wait a minute, that's not true. The boss fights didn't scale, but the random encounters did. So I couldn't even get to the boss because the random encounter was just a group of chocobos casting chocobo meteor on me, and I could not stop them. It was a miserable experience for me. And
you're just making that little sound. You're just like, what the hell, man?
My favorite character from there, her name was Agrius. I think that's how you pronounce it. Agrius Oaks. She was like the lead knight in the princess's cavalry or whatever, and she was badass. I always loved her, and I stole that name from many a character in MMOs for a long time. All right, Lindsay. This is not going as fast as I thought it was going to originally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So my number 4 is from the 96th game. So it takes place in a prison encampment, basically. So not just a single building, but like the whole complex of multiple jail cells and whatnot. And that one took the most psychological damage to our tributes.
Lindsay, you know what I think you would be interested in checking out?
Huh.
I think you would be, and Hunter, back me up on this, I think you would find the Fallout vaults fascinating.
Yes. Well, from the little bit of research I did before we played our game, yeah. Like, you saw me take 2 days to figure out what vault my character was from.
I forgot we did that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Bottom plan. That was last summer. That was like 1 year ago.
Oh, time flies. Time. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, time flies. All
can
right.
Can I briefly throw in my favorite vault, which is the one that Penny Arcade put together, where it's one man and a crate of puppets. Anyway, that's a canon vault, by the way. It was when I think Fallout 4 came out. They contacted Penny Arcade and they're like, "We want you guys to do a comic about this." And they're like, "Okay, but we get to make our own vault." And they're like, "Cool." And it's one guy and a crate of hand puppets, and he just slowly goes insane. It's very Penny Arcade is very up and down, and I haven't read it in years, but I remember when that came around, I was like, yes, this is the new flesh.
You know, since we're throwing out that one's less obscure than what I'm going to say, but I'm curious if anyone remembers it, since we're throwing out like old video game kind of you know, strip comics and stuff like that. Does anybody remember, and Final Fantasy, does anybody remember 8-Bit Theater?
8-Bit Theater. Yeah. I knew that's what you were going to say. Yes.
Oh man.
The armoire. The invincible armoire that he carried around. It's not armor. It's just a giant chest sword.
A fighter makes people... I forget what this fucking quote was.
Chugs. He had the sword chugs. There were swords that were nunchucks. He hurt himself a lot with those.
Have you guys never seen 8-Bit Theater? Mage
and those finger guns all the time.
Oh, fucking 8-Bit Theater was fantastic. All right.
It's still up, I'm pretty sure.
Let's go back to Jesse. Number 3. Let's speed it up.
Yeah, now I have a feeling we're going to start getting some controversy going.
I'm already.
Number 3 is going to be the spicy sweet chili flavor.
Yes.
I like that one. Good. Why would it be mad?
Shannon buys that on the regular. Middle, though.
It's in the middle. It is one of my go-to flavors, though. I really, really enjoy the spicy sweet chili. It's very, very tasty.
It's fantastic. That's the one I normally go with. And now I'm starting to get scared that my favorite's not on your list.
Well, you just said that's the one you go with.
It's not my favorite.
It's still up, and I just dropped the link to the first episode, the first edition of it. It's long since been done. He finished it years ago, but...
But it's fucking amazing. So, all right. It is great. Shelbu.
My number three is going to be drinks. So random drinks that they would make in certain shows that just kind of defy gravity. They can just keep whipping that whipped cream up and up and up. And like it never topples, never falls. And they can add whatever toppings and cherries and sprinkles and whatever to these drinks or these ice cream cups that they make in these shows, and it always looks good and it never melts and it's just perfect, and you try to do that in reality and you're gonna get ants.
You get aphids.
You want to get ants? That's how you get ants.
That's how you get over. Ants.
Bet it was that box of litter.
Oh man.
Well, that's how you get ants. Honestly. All right, my aunt jokes are not landing here. let's go to Tanner.
These aunt bits doing anything for you?
You big aunt boy there, Tanner?
I am not. So this next one is one that we have talked about, and I want to believe several times that we've had Scott Walter on the show. I'd like to visit like the late 1300s, early 1400s, Minnesota, specifically Kensington. The location of a land claim that was buried in around 1392. Scott Walters talked about it. It's the stone that had the hooked X on it. As you can see, I keep it on my arm. It stays with me forever. The hooked X. Yeah, I'd like to go there and see, you know, exactly who the people were. Like the stone says, like where each person from the landing party came from. But I'd want to see these people and find out, you know, what their actual background was and what their actual goal was and why they ended up leaving. What killed, 15 people from the party. You know, that sort of stuff.
I'm surprised a lot more of your picks aren't horror, like, scary related, you know what I mean? Or are you building up to something?
No.
All right, well, moving on to Hunter. I guess he proved me wrong.
Okay. I want to go. Well, I guess I could have used Jack the Ripper. Anyway.
So I read the other day that.
Yes.
Did you ever see the movie The Wolfman, the new one?
No.
No.
Fuck. Okay. Well, never mind. No, I'll do it anyway. So in that movie, Hugo Weaving plays a investigator. And I forget the name, but I think it's Aberleen. He's the same investigator that investigated the Jack the Ripper murders. And they wanted to... And this is a real, like, historical figure, apparently. And in the end of the movie, he gets bitten by the wolf, man. And they wanted to make a sequel where that character, played by Hugo Weaving... He was also played by Johnny Depp in the From Hell movie. Would be chasing after Jack the Ripper, but he was a werewolf. And then they would have a werewolf versus Jack the Ripper thing. I can tell by Shelby's reaction, she's not into this. So we are going to move forward.
She's getting a foot rub right now. And
you getting into the Jack the Ripper cinematic universe there? Is that what's going on? You big cinematic universe boy, Colin?
You big Jack the Ripper boy there, Jesse? All right. Well, none of these jokes have landed. Hunter, please.
In the same day, we went to both the Library of Congress and the National Archives. National Archives are where, for the record, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, all of that stuff is housed. Nice, yes, don't get me wrong, but crowded as all hell. And I'm going to be honest with you, there's really not a lot to see. Like, it's neat to be able to be there in the same room as them, but those documents are so faded at this point that there's not a lot to tell. What was much cooler is the Library of Congress. It's a beautiful building. There's much less in the way of people there. They have a full recreation, the thing you're going to want to look for. They have a full room that's a recreation of Thomas Jefferson's library. And so they have the books marked in these cases of, like, these are actually from his library. Here are things that are era appropriate, but that he didn't necessarily own these specific copies. And then there are spaces that are like, we know he had these books. We haven't found copies yet. This is what we're looking for. And you could spend probably a good couple hours just wandering that room and seeing, like, the stuff that he had access to. Tons of law books, tons of Shakespeare, and a lot of theatrical stuff, which was interesting. But that building was really nice.
French shit in there too.
A lot of French stuff, yes. In fact, most of the books, I don't want to say most of them, but a lot of the ones that if you're just kind of walking and stopping and glancing, the spines, the titles are written in French. Like, you can tell just by the way that they're, I don't speak French, don't get me wrong, but I can tell when a word is French, and that's what it was.
Like a file.
Yeah, well, at least he knows where France is. but yeah, no, the Library of Congress of the two were...
French.
Was more interesting to me. And again, it's just a gorgeous building. The picture that's my cover picture on Facebook right now is from that building. So yeah, go there. It's another place where you have to get timed entry, but it was very nice.
Well, you don't have to get timed entry for my next pick. Well, did that work for anybody? No.
Nope.
Yeah. I laughed.
Number three.
Wait.
Hang on. Thank you. All right. Hold on, I got a better one. Final Fantasy VIII is my third favorite Final Fantasy of all time.
That's very shocking to me.
That it's that high or that low or what?
That low on your list.
Well, when you hear the top two, I mean, it's gonna blow Daniel titties off. Honestly,
I'm pretty sure I can guess the top two.
You might be able to. Just spoiler alert for anybody out there waiting for it. Final Fantasy VII is not on my list because I did not love it as much as everybody else. Final Fantasy VIII, though, that was the first Final Fantasy I ever really fell in love with. It was I played it after VII, and I liked VII just fine, but VIII is when I really fell in love with the series. I don't know why. Because, you know, 8's not the best game. It had a weird junctioning system that I failed at because I didn't know you were supposed to do it. If you've never played Final Fantasy VIII, the gist of it is every monster, you can junction magic from them. You can withdraw magic from them and then junction it to your weapons and to your abilities that makes them stronger. I didn't know you did that. So I went through the entire first disc without doing it at all, and then I got to a boss that I could not beat because I was not strong enough. So I had to restart the game, and I did it right this time. And it was just a really, really good love story. It has a whole legendary, like, is he dead or is he not dead argument that I didn't even know about at the time. It was just really, really cool. And it had gun blades, which have become my favorite weapon of all time, even though they're highly impractical. But it was good all around. And my favorite character from Final Fantasy VIII is and always will be, and I don't even know how to pronounce her name. You guys tell me how to pronounce this, and I'll tell you what I've always pronounced it as, because this is before they had voice acting, so I didn't
know. Hang on, can I guess?
Yeah.
Is it Kestis?
It is, and that's exactly how I pronounced it, was Kestis.
Yeah,
so
I think
that's correct?
It.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, Kestis Trep?
Trape?
She's the blonde Trape? In the pink outfit.
I think that is Trape.
Trape? Kestis Trape. Yeah, she's a teacher. And
her last name is spelled like crepe, but with a T instead of a C. So I took it as trape.
Yeah, I always loved her. She had a whip for a weapon, and I'm just naturally attracted to whips. Check out our PZ85 plays, Curse of Strahd. And she had glasses. The glasses are cute. Okay.
Yeah, I guess you could have pronounced it as Kestis because it's not QUI, if I remember correctly. It's QI. But
no, it's QUI.
It reads like, is it QUI? Then I would say Kestis for sure. Yeah.
I always said Kestis, but my friends back in the day used to argue and they say, no, it's Kestis. And I'm like, that sounds stupid.
Oh, hell no.
Kestis.
It's not that.
That's dumb.
Fucking
no
idiot.
Way.
No.
All right.
Yeah, I could have.
I would pronounce that Kestis.
I could have seen, like, Kestis, but.
Yeah. But not Kestis.
Kestis, that sounds dumb.
Kestis. All right, Lindsay, what do you got?
Number three for me is the Poisonous Paradise from the second Quarter Quell, the 50th games, which was Haymitch's games. a gorgeous, gorgeous arena, but literally everything in there, if you consumed it, would kill you, and even to the point that breathing the air was, like, giving minor poisons to them.
So it's Karo.
I didn't say that.
I'll never pass up an opportunity. I'm sorry, Tanner.
For the record, the online community, whatever you want to call it, seems to suggest Kistis is the agreed upon, which I'm fine with. Kistis, yeah, or Kistis, I think both make sense.
Better than Quistis, that's for sure.
Yeah, Quistis is
it's the last name they argue about, because T-R-E-P-E in French would be pronounced trep, but according to the lore, it's treep. And I don't like either one of those. I don't either. It's more of an A.
Yeah. If I had to pick between the two, I would probably take trep. But, yeah. Well, no. All right, Lindsay, one more time. Can you repeat that just really quick?
It was a Poisonous Paradise from the 50th Games.
That's my favorite Coolio song, too.
Living in a poisonous paradise.
That's a good one. All right, back to Jesse.
All right. Here's where I'm definitely going to start making people mad. Number two, the second best flavor of Doritos. This is another discontinued flavor.
Oh, never mind.
and it is the four cheese flavored Doritos from the 90s.
I never got to try that one.
I don't remember a four cheese.
I've never had those either.
They were my favorite.
They replaced them with the nachos.
Nachos Doritos is like the first one. Like that's all.
I was gonna say, I thought that was the normal.
Jesse, that turn's coming next. Don't say what your first one is yet.
So the four cheese was like, I'm not even sure how to describe it. It was almost like a mix of like the nacho cheesier Doritos and like another flavor from the 90s, like that the Monterey Jumpin' Jack, which I had forgotten about until I was looking up the other stuff for this list. Yeah, it was really, really good. Like it was like kind of like salty sour, and I fucking loved them. They were so good. But that's another one that has not been remade or even talked about since then.
Which means there was probably something wrong with it that was really bad for us.
Nah.
The best tasting stuff is the worst.
Everything that's good is bad for us, you know?
That's true. So,
I got distracted for a second because something popped up on my feed here about a shooting, a suspect in custody in connection with shooting at apartment complex in Cape Girardeau. And I was like, gee, I wonder which apartment complex it was going to be. And it turns out it's not. It's not for once. I don't even know this place. Legends?
Oh, shit, I do.
Oh, is that one of those?
My workers just canceled her contract that she was going to move into a place in there in August because there was another shooting like a few weeks earlier also.
That's what it is. They're talking about that one. Yeah, and Tanya, you'll find this interesting. You may actually know about this because it says
that... I went on lockdown at my job because of it.
Yeah, according to police, the chase ended in Mounds.
Yeah.
That's crazy. All right, anyway, sorry about that, Jesse. Let's go to Shelby, who's going to tell us about Legends. No, she's not.
she's going to talk about digital stuff that's better than real life.
It absolutely checks out until we talk about anything to do with the ocean or water, because holy shit, that's terrifying in reality, and it's only slightly less terrifying when it's animated or cartoonified.
But I keep forgetting you're hydrophobic.
I really want her to see the movie Underwater.
Why?
For that
I'll
reason.
I'll die.
No.
It's not like a, like she'll have a, like a legit anxiety attack. Like it's not like the.
I mean,
the
even
fun, like,
I was anxious in that film. Like I was practically hyperventilating.
I remember. Anyway, sorry. So water. Shelby hates water in life. Okay.
It's also just like they just make it always look so pure and clear and sparkling in the shows. And
they put cool stuff in there.
They make it look really nice, and then you walk outside, it's just a fucking mud puddle.
There are nice clear ones in real life.
I hate water. It's cold and wet, and it gets everywhere.
I agree.
If Anakin was from the
like moon. Water.
Also, I also like water.
Jesse, I just saw your message and spot on. Let's let's go to Tanner. Tanner, number four. Or number two, I guess.
Mid to late 1940s Argentina.
Well, don't cry for me.
Yeah, so I want to see. I would like to be there to see what Nazis actually escaped from Germany to Argentina. Was Hitler one of them? Yeah.
I wonder why Shelby went.
The Boys in Blue is always an interesting story that came out of that. So all the scientists that escaped from there.
Yeah.
That is really interesting.
Most of the scientists that didn't get recruited by the United States ended up in Argentina.
Yeah. And a fun fact, there one of the doctors that was working on... sorry.
No, Lindsay is what I'm laughing at.
Okay, sorry. I thought I was doing something that Tanner was like, No,
there's a cat in what appears to be a basket of some sort.
I think it's a trash can.
Oh, okay.
It's the trash can. I just heard a thump and embers in it.
Lily would literally call her trash cat.
That's what Lindsay calls it.
Yeah, no, she's trash been cat. Being a trash cat a lot lately.
That's what we call Tally.
Yeah.
Trash cat.
Anyway, Shelby, what were you saying?
Yeah, Shelby.
One of the scientists who specifically worked on birth rates was thought to have gone there, and the rate of twins went up incredibly ridiculously high as soon as they got there.
Yeah,
the other one's going to do it.
The number one,
she doesn't like the trash can.
The number one language spoken in most villages in Argentina is German.
Well, we got to change that, baby. We got to make him speak American. Tanner, do you speak Americanese?
Anyway, Hunter, what's your next pick?
Now you can't do that. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, that's right. It's going to cost you a couple bucks because they have paid entry at the International Spy Museum. But I mean, I feel like I don't have to say much more than that to get people to go, yes, I want to go see what this is all about. Not only is it exactly what it sounds like it's spying throughout the eras of human history, and it's a really technologically advanced place. They have kind of a little interactive game you can play while you go through. When you first go in, you get a badge that you scan, and it's like, all right, here's your secret ID, here's where you're from, your false name, and like four or five times throughout the place, there will be stations where it's like, all right, scan in, you got to check it in. So you had to play a little game where it's like, all right, create a disguise for yourself on this little touch screen, or like, you have to remember this information about your secret identity and make it through. It was just like a little fun distraction. But really, you're going to want to go there if you will indulge me and go to the Discord for things like this. that's I'll let you read what that is, but that's one of the exhibits that they had. It was never actually used.
This prototype, never used in the field, was specifically designed to be used by downed male pilots to conceal small escape radios. Male security guards, it was thought, would not thoroughly search the genitalia area.
And that's the scrotum concealment.
That is a scrotum.
Yes.
Wow.
That's a hairy ball bag with a radio in it.
Wow.
Late 60s, early 70s. Now, see, the reason that it wouldn't have held up is that it's the late 60s, early 70s. There's not enough hair on
that. That's not enough hair.
It's going to need more than that.
I don't remember Q ever giving that to James Bond.
Well, it's never used in the field. It says it right there.
Well,
he never got to that point.
That we know of.
Right.
From the CIA never used it in the field.
Right. I mean, MI6, right.
MI6 might have been all over it.
Right.
Now, that's one of the things that's very cool is, again, it is the International Spy Museum. So they talk about American spies from the Revolutionary War all the way up to now. They talk about MI6. They talk about what's the KGB version KGB.
It's just KGB.
It?
Yeah, that's Russia. KGB.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say was the Russian version. And I realized I already said it.
Yeah.
But yeah, they like talk
the KGB
about
KGB version. I was like, what?
it's that one. That's him. yeah. No, it's very cool, and it's a huge place. It takes 2 or 3 hours if you really want to stop and examine the exhibits and like play the little ARG on the way.
They don't mention
Hercules Mulligan if that's what you're asking, Tanner.
No.
What about James Bond?
Shame. How much did they talk about the Culper Ring?
Yeah, Culper Rings mentioned quite a bit. It's not that, let me rephrase, it's not that they don't talk about Hercules Mulligan. He doesn't get highlighted as much as singled out. Yeah, and there was another name from the Revolutionary War that they did, and I cannot remember off the top of my head who it was. Jenna, they do actually, they have a whole separate room about halfway through the exhibit dedicated to fictional spies. And so there's a bunch of James Bond stuff. It's everything literally from James Bond to like Harriet the Spy they talk about.
Wow. What about Totally Spies?
Yep. They have like a wall. Yeah, they have a wall. Or actually the walls in that room, not a wall, but the walls in that room are like littered with advertisements and images of like anything spy related in pop culture.
That's so cool.
And James,
when I went years ago, like in like sixth grade, it was a much shorter one, and they did it in a timeline fashion around the original room. So it showed you where all these fictional spies popped up in time.
Gotcha. They had some element of that too, but now they've moved to, they have these video screens that kind of do like rotating stuff. Basically, they talk about different things. So they show clips from like, it even says before you go in, like, hey, maybe don't bring little kids in here because there's like Mission Impossible stuff that's a little more intense and some of the James Bond stuff that's kind of intense.
That's cool.
Yeah, and then they have like little exhibits sticking out from the walls that are you know, plexiglassed off, like toys, like Bond toys and The Man from U.N.C.L.E. They have stuff from that too. I was going to say the A-Team, and I'm like, that's not right. It was very cool place.
So one question before I move on to my next pick. Did they have anything in there about Perfect Dark, Joanna Dark? Or is that a little too obscure for them?
Not that I remember. They really didn't have, I don't remember anything video game specific. When I say pop culture, it was mostly TV and movies and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay. All right, very cool.
The name mentioned from Copa, was it Talmadge or Townsend, Woodhull, Brewster?
Woodhull sounds right.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't remember off the top of my head. The room I'm thinking of, Tanner, they have these like stand-up virtual displays where basically it looks like this person is like living in their time and talking to you, and then every once in a while it'll rotate, but it's done in a really like clever way where it looks like it's just like a virtual. Tanner, for your purposes, think of the moving pictures in Harry Potter. It's like that. Yeah. It's like you're talking to a portrait of them. That's and so in cool. that room... Yeah, and so in that room, there's it starts with whoever it is I'm thinking of from the Revolutionary War, but there's also a Russian guy, and there's a very modern guy who apparently infiltrated Al-Qaeda, who was literally radicalized, and then when he got in there was like, this is fucked up, I shouldn't do this. So he contacted the U.S. government and managed to become a double agent and put down a lot of Al-Qaeda stuff that way.
Man, spies are so much cooler than wizards.
But they could be wizard spies.
It could be both.
Wizard spies. Oh man! Imagine a James Bond, but with a wand or Wang.
You're just talking about horrors. You're just talking about. Let's move past.
Let's move past.
Cut that.
Hey, number two for me. Jesse called it. He got both of them correct. I'm not gonna reveal them yet. Number two is number six. Also known as Final Fantasy III in North America. This was a Super Nintendo. This is the one that really put RPGs on the map. And I mean that. You had a long list of RPGs up to this point. You had the Dragon Quest series or Dragon Warrior. You had the Ultima series. But Final Fantasy VI or III is what made RPGs cool. And I never played it as a kid. I did play it years later on an emulator. And then I played it about 1,000 times more. It is so good, and it does stuff that no other RPG I've ever seen has done. My favorite scene from any Final Fantasy and any RPG in general is the Opera House scene from Final Fantasy VI. There's a full-on opera in the middle of the game, and the balls on these guys to do that compared to now in Final Fantasy XVI, where they call people cocks and say the F word. You know, it was a more civilized time back then. When they did operas. Was that Tanner? And
they're just edgy.
They sure are.
They gotta appeal to the edge crowd or something. I don't know.
Final Fantasy VI was amazing.
I would have guessed that this was your number three.
No.
And then it would have been Final Fantasy VIII and then your final
fantasy.
I know what number one is now. Everyone and I know does. That you and I would have those flipped. It'd be the other way around. Because six would have been my number one.
Six is amazing. The characters are fantastic top to bottom. Kefka, to me, is a much better villain than Sephiroth. I know that's not a hot take. A lot of people say that. Six walked so Seven could run. 6 to me is, will probably always be like the definitive RPG just for the time period and the graphics. I mean, it was just amazing. And now you can get all those old ones in the Pixel Perfect release that Square Enix has done. So it's worth picking them up now. And my favorite character from Final Fantasy 6, Hunter, do you want to take a guess at it?
Oh, shit. It's got to be the thief whose name is escaping me right now.
Second favorite, Locke. Locke is my second favorite.
Oh, shit, I forgot about Locke.
Locke is the thief. He's my second favorite one. My first favorite is Edgar Figaro. He is the king, yep. And he is just fucking awesome. He has an auto crossbow. Don't even know what that means, but it was awesome.
They have to have those in D&D, kind of. Basically, what it's talking about is something that you would – it's almost like a clip of bolts. And so when you, like, set it right, it has this, like, repeating just shooting. Fires. It's a repeating crossbow.
Yeah.
I said a clip, like a magazine, I should say, that you put into it.
I was trying to remember the quote that Edgar says when Kefka asks him about Terra, and he says something like, there are more women here than grains of sand in the desert. I can't keep track of them all. I don't know, man. Edgar was just cool. Edgar was cool. He was handsome. He was rich. He's all the things I thought I would be and none of the things that I became. Let's go to Lindsay.
Number 2 for me is from the 21st Games, which is an abandoned amusement park. And as the time progresses, the rides and things in the park just start falling apart and collapsing everywhere.
Theme parks are always fun.
Yes.
Yeah. You said theme park, that's, right?
Yes. Okay. Amusement park, theme park. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's not Hunger Games, but it's why I wish... what was that game? Sunset Overdrive had gotten more play. It's not set in a theme park, but the way that you get around it is like getting around an abandoned theme park. I always thought that's a sequel cool. That was in one would be very cool.
I always wanted to like Sunset Overdrive, and I never could get into it. I think it was just a little too corny, like the style.
It's goofy as hell.
It's goofy as
it
hell.
It does have one of my favorite fast travel systems of all time, though.
Grinding?
You get blackout drunk. Blackout drunk. When you fast travel somewhere on the map, you get blackout drunk, you pass out, and when you wake up, you're in the place you wanted to be.
opposed to Trevor from Grand Theft Auto V, where sometimes you would pick his character, and he would be passed out in his underwear.
Anywhere.
Yeah, it was awkward.
Yeah.
It was super fucking awkward.
At the bay, on the beach.
Strip club.
In a store.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Jesse, last round. Piss everybody off. Piss me off.
Yeah. It was going to make everybody real mad because the answer is not nacho cheesier. It's Cool Ranch.
Oh, no. We're spot on then.
Yeah. Yes. I agree with that.
That is correct. That's the correct answer.
Well, except for Tanner. Tanner's the odd man out.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
cool ranch.
I don't really care for the Cool Ranch, but I'm boring and just like the regular nachos.
The only time I disagree is that I think the nacho cheese tacos are better. I don't think the Cool Ranch works on the tacos.
Agree.
Well.
I definitely agree with that. Yeah, if you go to Taco Bell and you get the Doritos tacos,
and
the nacho. But even better than that is the spicy nacho version.
That's true.
Yeah.
Which I also put above nacho cheesier.
As a side note, I said this a couple weeks ago on the show, but for anybody interested, do not get the Doritos.
Dorito?
The nacho cheese papadilla or whatever it is from Papa John's. Yeah. It is fucking disgusting. It tastes like cat vomit in your mouth. It's like a fish abortion in your mouth.
Oh, boy.
And everything Taco Bell brings back is bad. The Mexican pizza sucks now. The enchilada sucks. Like, stop.
Why will you not bring back... when I worked at the mall years ago...
No, this is monkey's paw, man. Whatever it is you say, it's going to be bad.
Well, it was...
No, they bring it back and make it bad on purpose so you don't ask for things.
You think, this is stupid.
I think I know where Shannon is going with this, because I think I agree with them. Shannon, is it the flatbreads?
No, I forgot about the flatbreads. I was going to say the, what is it called? Not a quesadilla. It's, the cheesy gordita crunch, but it was like a bacon one. That was fantastic.
Oh, shit.
And they only had that for about 3 days.
That one. Yeah, it was the chicken one. It was like the chicken bacon ranch.
Oh, well, I guess they do it in a, what's the flowery doughy one?
Chalupa?
Chalupa. They do a chicken bacon ranch chalupa.
Oh, man. They also had, at one point, had a chalupa that was just this big. It was like a fucking baby.
Oh, yeah.
It was delicious.
XXL chalupa.
Yeah.
Well, Shannon, see, we take that. Then we put it into a commemorative tote bag with an entire pot of chili.
Well, then you got to deep fry it. you know.
Deep fried. Yeah, Shane, I'm surprised you don't remember the, it was the flatbread, I guess they were quesadillas, but it was flatbread quesadillas, and it was just the, like, it was exactly that. It was a small quesadilla. It was a dollar. It had the creamy jalapeno Jesse, sauce on it and the Jesse, cheese and meat.
Jesse, I'm going to let you in a little secret. I've eaten a lot of food in my life. I can't.
But I remember specifically at the mall, like, you and I would walk over and we'd just get, like, four of those bad boys because they were a dollar.
We used to eat a lot of things at at that Taco Bell. Shelby.
Cheeseburgers at the McDonald's in the mall, too.
And I'm pretty sure that Taco Bell just kind of made whatever the fuck they wanted.
Yeah. Well, and if it was in the case of Bob, they would make tomatoes on whatever he ordered.
Even, everything.
Even if it didn't
even
have tomatoes.
Even things that didn't have it. Yep.
Bob was got tomatoes. All right, cool. Man. He's drinking his Mountain Dew. And he's just, what is blocking up this straw?
Fucking tomatoes.
It's too much.
All right.
Anyway, cool Ranch Doritos is the correct answer.
Yeah.
100%. That is the best flavor of Doritos. Yeah. Always has been, always will be.
True.
Yeah.
Yep. Tanner. Or no, Shelby.
My number one thing that I like seeing, and it's done so much better in, you know, animated and whatever, just that basic daily life shit. They make it look so fun and so easy and fulfilling
and whimsical.
Very yeah, whimsical. Like there's a weird cottage core feeling to every one of these type of things, no matter how ridiculous it is. There's even one where it's like this mafia guy who sits there and prepares a fucking fresh meal for lunch or something, and it's just the coziest little, like, I'm gonna cook it up and do my dishes and make sure everything's nice and neat and put out a little vase of flowers to make my lunch feel more like nice. And I'm like, who the fuck has time for this? I get my dishes done and then I'm like, no, I'm not wasting a vase to put a flower in. Are you kidding me? I have to wash that again.
The flower's just gonna die.
Yeah, it's just gonna die. Like, who has time for that? That's a lot of effort for nothing.
That's too much effort.
Too much effort. But they make it seem like, oh, that's just I sneezed and my table was set, and I'm like, God damn it!
By the way, I'm gonna name my debut album just that basic life shit. That's that's gonna stick with me for a while.
Is that that album you recorded with world famous rapper Daniel Titties?
Yeah, that's him.
And was it Bird?
And the more we talk about this, the more that Jake is gonna think it's a real thing again.
We gotta cancel that because he almost sued me last time. Tanner, last one. Wake up.
I'm so mad at you.
This one is not for any historical purposes other than I want to see where my family came from. I'd like to go to like the late Viking age of Yorkshire, England. Late to very end of the age. Because that's when my family settled in the area. And they were technically not Scandinavian, but they were of what we call Viking descent. And living and moving to the area at that. So, you know, I'd like to be there to see the foundings of
Tanner also coming out with his next album called That Viking Shit, Volume 1.
See, I'm surprised, like, Roanoke didn't make it onto Tanner's list. You
know, we know what happened at Roanoke. It's not that big
a mystery. It's not that big a mystery.
Man.
Yeah. See, that's why I was thinking, I was thinking Roswell. I was thinking, like, all these historically, yeah, the paranormal spots. Tanner didn't pick any of them. I was surprised by that.
Well, okay.
There's enough paranormal shit going on right now that I don't have to go back in the past to see any of it.
And I don't want to answer for Tanner, but just to answer for myself, and I think we've talked about this on I Want to Believe, I don't know if I want to be there for those things, because how am I going to be, just because I would then know personally what happened, how I'm not going to be believed any more than anybody else who was.
That's
most
true,
people who experience those events don't want to have been there for them, because they're like, yeah, it kind of fucked up my life. Like,
well, that's because
I tell people all the time this was real, and they don't believe me.
That's because what you actually saw was Venus.
I assure you, it was Venus.
I'd like to visit Yorkshire, or as it would have been called in Yorkshire. My family settled there at some point in time in that period. They were cattle farmers, which is where my last name comes from, cow herder, changed into Calvert. So
it's a good change.
Good change.
Good change.
All right, Hunter, what do you got? Last one we got.
You're going to have to go through your congressperson for this one, but it's worth it. And I'm not talking about the Capitol, because the Capitol was cool, don't get me wrong. But they can get you into the FBI for what they call the FBI experience. It's a very specific tour that they have through. You go to the actual FBI building. If you're lucky enough to get a very good tour guide, which we did, the guy's name was Tony. He worked on the entire original run of what's it called? America's Most Wanted. He was on that. He was a field agent for like 20 years. Super talkative, had a lot to say, knew a lot of things. They have J. Edgar Hoover's original desk. They've got the boat that the Boston Marathon bomber was hiding in. Like, the entire full boat is the last thing you see as you're leaving the building from that tour space. But other than just like teaching you about what they do, which they do a lot of, and the history of it, they also have a lot of like remnants and artifacts from famous people who were on the most wanted on the top 10 list. Probably the most disturbing of those. One of them is the Unabomber's Manifesto, which is interesting, but like you can read transcripts of that anywhere. They do have one of the dolls that the BTK, the Bind, Torture, Kill guy, left behind. That's actually like bound with strips of a woman's pantyhose, a woman that he killed. That's pretty disturbing.
Yeah.
They have a couple of different like Tommy guns and stuff that you can see that are from that era of like Prohibition mobsters and such. It's very cool. I told Shannon the only thing I was disappointed when was there was a disturbing lack of Mulder and Scully. I thought there'd at least be a passing mention of like, hey, you guys remember when this was the thing?
Yeah.
Not a thing. Nothing.
How are you gonna ignore Mulder and Scully? Like, I get their fictional agents for a topic that the FBI probably doesn't want you to know about in general. But how are you gonna ignore Mulder and Scully?
Yeah, because they don't talk about that at all. What they do have is a very comprehensive, like, you could literally sit and watch them go through a hostage rescue.
I don't care about that.
Like, all their weaponry and stuff on display. And I remember, this is how fucking dorky I was, they're talking about like, oh, they all have to train in, you know, this pistol and this shotgun and this rifle. And I'm like, I know all of those. I use those in Call of Duty. It's fine.
You can tell them about it.
Keep moving. You know, Glock 19, yeah, I know that's what you use. That's what Mulder and Scully use. Yeah, the Glock 19 semi-automatic. I've looked this up for a long time now. The Bryson shotgun that you're using for breach and clear, that's literally what we use in Call of Duty. Like, come on, let's keep it going.
Yeah.
No, it is very interesting, though. And most of it is self-guided. We did have a tour guide, but he kind of led us through the intro and then was like, hey, do your thing. You know, take as much time as you like or as little on certain spaces. Sarah and I got way ahead of our tour group, and sure enough, he had left him behind. Tony came back and was like, hey, you guys want me to tell you some more about this stuff? Because we were in like a 9/11 section. We're like, fuck yeah, Tony, like, tell us what's going on, you know? So he stayed and chatted with us for like half an hour about here's all this, and talked to us about what we did, and of course then tried to recruit us for the FBI, which was very funny. He's like, hey, the FBI needs people like you. Like, come on, here's what you can do to sign up. This is good benefits and all that.
Was he joking or was that serious?
He was dead serious.
I'll fucking take that deal. Goddamn, I want to work for the FBI.
Yeah, importantly.
In the Mulder and Scully section.
I was going to say, I'll tell you off the air why he wanted us and why you would not want to do it in the same way that you have something to tell me off the air. But anyway, yeah, the FBI experience, you have to go through your congressperson because they literally have to do a background check on you because you're literally going into the main FBI headquarters to do this. It's very cool, though. You have to put your phone on airplane mode. It's the only place other than the house floor that we had to give those up. But it's neat. I now have a polo that I got. They have a gift shop on the way out. And I was like, yeah, fuck it. Sarah talked me into getting a polo that I can wear to work that literally has like the FBI crest on it. It looks very official. Like, I'm not sure if I was supposed to buy it. So now when people at work ask me like, hey, how do you have that? I'd be like, I can't talk about it. Because there's literally stuff in that shop that's like it's labeled like, you know, not for public use. It's like badges, like the wallets that they keep their badges in. That's where the agents go and buy those. And you can't just buy them. And I'm like, was I supposed to be able to buy this shirt? I don't think I was.
So it's fine.
I can't talk about it.
I'm just going to throw it out here. First off, I want to apologize to Aaron Powell.
It's way too long. It's an hour and a half.
He's tapped out by now, probably. Zane Lady.
He's
still
ADHD with us. Kicked in. He's done.
Yeah. My favorite Final
Fantasy. I told him, by the way, I was like, you know, you can listen to podcasts in two parts, right? Like, you don't have to
marathon all at once. Yeah.
Heck, I've got a podcast that usually goes 3 hours that I listen to, and I just listen to it when I'm in the car or when I'm working shipment.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Aaron, just pick your battles, man. Number one Final Fantasy game of all time, Final Fantasy
Nine.
Yeah. Yep. It's the best Final Fantasy ever. It was a return to the high fantasy medieval roots. It was charming as fuck. It had amazing graphics, amazing music, one of the best villains in Kuja. It was just so good. I literally one of my ex-girlfriends bought it for me and gave it to me, and I marathoned it. I literally woke up, I'd play Final Fantasy, I'd eat when my mom made me eat, I would go to bed, I'd get up, I played Final Fantasy. I played it for 4 days straight until I beat the whole game. And I mean straight. I didn't take breaks other than to go to the bathroom. It was insane how addicted to this game I was. It's just the best Final Fantasy ever. And now they're talking about remaking it. And at first I was excited because I was like, I've always wanted a Final Fantasy IX remake or a 6 remake. Actually, they're remaking 6 is what it was. Someone had put a demo out for what 9 would look like in modern graphics. And it looked incredible. However, I've seen what Square does to Final Fantasy now, and I don't want them to touch any of my Final Fantasy games. Leave them the fuck alone. I'm not going to pull a Ghostbusters 2016 and be like, you know, my memories. But, like, I saw what they did to 7. And even though 7 was cool, it's just leave 9 and 6 alone. I beg of you.
The remake of 7 is cool, too. But what you're saying is, and I agree with this, if they remake 9, you're not going to get 9 again.
No.
You're going to get those characters doing similar stuff, Edge-lordy, but it's not going to be the same.
Shit.
It's going to be different.
Right. And I don't touch it because it's perfect. Don't fuck with perfection. And the best character from Final Fantasy IX is Garnet. Princess Garnet / Dagger. I will never forget. Someone I know was making fun of me because she was like, you get crushes on cartoon characters. So the fuck what? One of my first crushes was on Garnet. There's a part in the game where she turns into Dagger because she takes a dagger and she just lops her own hair off, and she's got like a shortcut at that point, and it's the cutest thing. So fuck off with that. Final Fantasy IX, Dagger, that's the number one. Lindsay, go ahead.
So my last one, I'm going to pause after I say which game it is, because I know one of you will make a comment, because it's the 69th games.
Wait, what? Go on. No, Tanner, no. No, we're running late. Go ahead, Lindsay.
And the arena for this one is the abandoned Empire State Building. So they're just trapped in the building itself. And needless to say, the final showdown is on the roof.
Of course.
Who won?
The tribute name was Tiffany Waxler from District 10. She's one of the first ones that dies in Catching Fire when they're showing the portraits.
Wait, the new one, Catching Fire?
No, because they used her portrait from there, but he basically made up that story for that character because she doesn't have a background story.
Gotcha. Catching Fire is the second book or the second movie or whatever.
But yeah, they used the female district from the female tribute from District 10 in the second story. That's what they made her story in this. Which is all fan speculation because she doesn't have a full story in it.
I have never really cared about Hunger Games. That's not a shot at anyone that does like it. It's just never been my thing. However, it did give me my absolute favorite Taylor Swift song, so I can't be too mad at it. So, for those of you wondering, it's called Safe and Sound, featuring the Civil Wars.
It's a really good song.
Good fucking song. Yeah. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Once again, my apologies to Aaron Powell. My apologies to Danny for thinking that we're making another album with fake people. I would also like to apologize to Zane.
Just all my high school friends are pissed off after this show.
We've really done them a disservice today. How embarrassing.
Rob Miller probably doesn't like it. He's not listening. Dave, oh, yeah. It's probably because they can't shoot whiskey, Shannon.
Wow, how embarrassing. All right. That's it. We'll see you guys next week on an all-new episode of Dragon Ball Z. For myself, for Jesse, for Tanner, for Lindsay, for Shelby, for Hunter, and for everybody else here at Podzol 1985. We love you. We'll see you next week. Shelby, take us out.
You can do it.
Jesse Pincher, make her make a noise.
No, I can't. I can't. I won't.
She gave you death
stare. She didn't flinch like I was going to.
Shelby, there's a sloth right behind you. Hey, everybody, that's not a good place.
All right, this bit's gone on too long. Bye, guys. See you next week.
Hey, Jim.